Great to have you with us this morning. As you know, the next big thing is always coming up. And the next big thing for us is Friday night, 7 o'clock, Does God Exist? Eric Lyons of the Apologetics Press will be our speaker. It's going to be a great lesson, and it will be a great series, but we're dependent upon you to help it to be a success, because as you know, each one of us do our part to glorify God and to not only be here, but also to bring someone with you. You may have someone you're thinking about who would be blessed by that lesson. Give them a call and encourage them. Better yet, go by and pick them up and bring them with you. We think about a lot of things that change in the world around us. But the greatest change ever made in the world came with the coming of Jesus Christ. He came into a world that was wicked and vile in many respects, particularly the pagan world. The idolatry and the practices that accompanied that were beyond our really comprehension sometimes as we think about the prostitution and immorality and yes, even a human sacrifice at times in some situations. In the name of religion, people will do almost anything. Even in the Jewish nation, among the Jewish people, people who believed in God as the Creator, there was problems with a tradition. Tradition bound to such an extent that it made difficult. People who really sought the Lord and wanted to be close to Him couldn't find Him because of the way that these traditions were being bound upon the people. We look at the world today, as we said, much of the good that is done in the world today is the result, directly or indirectly, of Christ having come into this world. And we also see, conversely, that when people forget about Jesus, when people forget about the Bible, when people forget about the standard of morality that Jesus brought to us, society begins slipping into greater and greater iniquity. If the followers of Jesus, if those who claim to be followers of Jesus really practice the teachings that Christ gave, if they really practice the things that they believe from the Bible, think of all the good that could be accomplished right now in our world to the glory of God Almighty. Can you imagine the thought of somehow binding Jesus, holding Him back, hindering Him from accomplishing what He could accomplish in our lives? And that danger is very present. You might remember one evening, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus and His disciples gathered in an upper room and partook of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the Passover Lamb. And in doing so, Jesus reminded His disciples of His coming death, instituting the Lord's Supper on that occasion. You might remember after that, traveling down the darkened streets of Jerusalem up to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed. Following that prayer, He was betrayed into the hands of sinners by a kiss from one of His own disciples. After that, He was subjected to physical torture and verbal abuse in a mockery of a trial. He witnessed the denial of Peter. And after Peter's denial, we read these words. Mark chapter 15, verse 1. And early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders and scribes, and the whole council immediately held a consultation, and binding Jesus, they led Him away and delivered Him up to Pilate. The Lord endured so much at the hands of ungodly sinners. We wouldn't want to stand before God as one of those who had bound the hands and feet of Jesus. We would not be want to stand before God in judgment as one who had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," as he was on trial before the rulers of that day. And while we may not be guilty of binding Jesus in a physical way, this morning I want to talk a little bit about binding him in a spiritual way. That I believe we can actually bind Jesus just as we can also crucify him in a spiritual way. That is, to hinder him from doing what he can do through us. You say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. He is omnipotent, can do all things. Yes, God can do all things. But God cannot work through a person or through a people who will not submit to his direction, to his guidance, to his direction in their life. See, God is left us with free moral agency to choose whom we will obey or disobey. And so we bind Jesus when we don't allow him to work through us in our lives. Like the ancient Israelites mentioned in Psalm 78, verse 41, they limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit him? Through their lack of faith, right? Through not submitting to him. To not carrying out his will in their lives. So I want to mention about four things this morning about binding Jesus. Ways that we can bind Jesus. And the first one is sort of a misconception or a clarification of a misconception. And that is, too often we feel that Christianity involves a set of prohibitions. Thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. And yes, there are many prohibitions in the Bible. Let me tell you. If you read the New Testament, you can find them. If you read in Galatians chapter 5, you can find a list of the deeds of the flesh. And where Paul says, those who participate in these will have no part in the kingdom of God, right? So these are things that we're not to do. But sometimes, when we're not careful, what we end up doing is saying, I know there are things that God has told me not to do, and I'm working on those, and you're probably working on those too. But somehow we get the idea that that's all that there is. Just work on the prohibitions. Work on the things we're not supposed to do. And the more we work on the things we're not supposed to do, the more empty our lives become. And thus we're filling our lives with the things we're supposed to do. See, there are as many things we're supposed to do as there are things we're not supposed to do. Right? And so when we begin thinking about it this way, when we believe that all that is required of us is to avoid certain prohibitions, we're limiting God. We're limiting Christ from working in our lives because all we're doing is avoiding certain things. Instead of actually doing things. And Christianity is a doing religion. In Matthew 25, you remember that some of the people were told to depart into eternal punishment. That gets our attention. Why? Why were they told to depart? I never knew you. Why? Because of things that they did? No. Because of things that they did not do. They did not feed the hungry. They did not visit those in prison, and so on and so on. They were not putting their faith into practice. And Christianity is a doing religion. And so if we have the idea that it's all about not doing things and we forget about the things we're supposed to do, we are binding Jesus. We're limiting his power to work within us. Remember what James said in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. That's not a living faith unless it's an active faith. In chapter 4 and verse 2, he's talking about chapter 4, verse 17, rather. He says, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So we can be guilty of binding Jesus today merely by forgetting about the fact. It's more just avoiding certain things. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't lust. Don't do this. Don't do that. But it's more than just that. It's actually taking the Word of God and practicing what it teaches in our life, right? So let's not be guilty of that. But we can be guilty of binding Jesus in other ways. Let's think about the fact that we can be guilty of binding Jesus when we fail to pray. Failure to pray is binding Jesus? Well, yes, it is. Binding the power of Christ. Our biggest messes and most complicated problems in this life are the direct result of our having to depend on ourselves and rely on ourselves without plugging into the power of God to work through us, without depending on His guidance. And then usually, sometimes at least, in a last-ditch effort, we turn to the Lord for help, right? We pull Him off the shelf. Okay, Lord, I've tried it. I can't do it. Now, help me. And that last-ditch effort is what we come to depend upon. That's not the way we need to live our lives. We need to live our lives in continual communion with the Lord and in prayer. And prayer needs to be more than just something we say before we eat a meal, more than just something that we do when the saints gather for worship. It needs to be part of our everyday life. And when it's not, we're binding Jesus. We're not allowing Him to work in our life the way He wants to work. The shallow prayer life that exists when we don't spend time with Him in prayer each day can leave us very weak and powerless in our lives. Now, some maybe attend worship 3 times a week and still feel very far away from God. Why is that? Because it's not just about worshiping God and attending services. It's also about plugging into His power and trusting Him and walking by faith in our life. That's what's important, to begin putting Him into practice. Getting into Jesus. Think about it for a moment. Think about Christ and His role in our prayer life. Jesus ascended unto the Father, took His place at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, that is the man Jesus Christ. We have the benefit of the power that comes through prayer. And in Hebrews chapter 4, mentions this in verse 14, down through verse 16, where it talks about Jesus. And he says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin. And he says, let us therefore draw near with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Doesn't that sound like what we want to have in our life? That kind of relationship with Jesus can be powerful. But when we do not pray, we do not have that power. We do not have that power working in our lives because we've not trusted Him enough to pray and commune with Him. James said, you do not have because you do not ask. James 4, verse 2. If that be true, then some questions come to my mind. One question is this. I wonder how many doors Lord would have opened for me, for you, for us, had we been more diligent in prayer, more open to His power working in our lives, more trustful. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think through the power that works within us. Why not ask God for His help? Why not pray today and throughout the week for the coming meeting that we're having beginning Friday night and see if you can plug into that power and trust God and talk to someone close to you, a friend, a neighbor, someone with whom you have discussed things and talk to them about, does God exist? Is Jesus His Son? Is the Bible His Word? And get them to come to the meeting with you Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. Let's go to the third point. We bind Jesus by failing to pray, but we also bind Jesus when we fail to study His Word. Failure to study God's Word is a limiting force in our lives. Well, you know, I study the Bible at church, and we have Bible class and all of that. But what about that day-to-day existence, that daily bread that we need to sustain us when we fail to trust God enough to listen to what He has to say? It's very important that we seek His guidance. Everybody needs guidance. Sometimes when I'm putting something together, I realize I need guidance. So I get out the instructions and read them when everything else fails. And then I realize I still need someone to interpret the instructions for me. We all need guidance. Children need the guidance of their parents. Students need the guidance of their teachers. Employees need the guidance of their employers. We need guidance. We need instruction. And spiritually speaking, we need guidance. It's not within man who walks to direct his own steps. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The Bible makes it clear. We need guidance, right? So all around us, there is spiritual guidance. Everywhere we look, there is spiritual guidance. People who have answers to what we need to know, right? Well, a lot of times the guidance that we get out in the world is not necessarily the guidance that we need. It might be from a parent, a grandparent, a close friend, a colleague, a person at work. And sometimes people say good things and helpful things. But our guidance must come from the Lord, from His Word. And everything that we look to in this life must be compared to the teachings of Christ. If Jesus is our guide, then we need to follow His Word. Because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Christian life is not a life that you can operate by physical direction. If you compare it to being blind physically, spiritual life is like listening to the voice and following the sound of that voice. It's not you see physically. It's something that has to do with your listening power, listening to what Jesus has to say. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And faith, well, Hebrews 11, 6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. We want to please God. We want to do what He wants us to do. And so we must have faith. Jesus cannot lead if we will not follow. You ever think about that? Jesus is the captain of my soul. He's my leader. He's my Lord. Prove it. The only proof is doing what He says. You can't make an emotional claim to Jesus as Lord if you're not following what he says to do, right? And so we listen to Jesus. Jesus himself, the Bible says in Hebrews 5, that although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal life. He's our source of eternal life if we obey him. In Mark 16:16, there's an example. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if I want to be someone who is being led by Jesus, I need to do what Jesus told me to do, and that would be to trust him. And trusting him, believing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I must also be baptized in order to be saved. One of many examples. The world may answer the same question 1,000 different ways, but we limit Christ's power when we listen to the world rather than to listen to the Word of God. The Bible is our guide. And we need to know the Bible. And to know the Bible, we need to study the Bible. Right? So, remember Psalm 119, 105. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Talking about binding Jesus. We can bind Jesus by thinking, all that religion is thou shalt not and never thou shalt. We can bind Jesus by failing to pray. We can bind Jesus by failing to study his word. And finally, we can bind Jesus by failing to tell the wonderful story of love. The message is powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And in the early church, being so close to the actual event itself, whatever reason it was, these people were filled with that message and planted the seed wherever they went, even when they were persecuted. Acts 8, verse 4. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10. And yet, he is sitting at the right hand of God. He still seeks and saves the lost, but he does so through the hands and the lips and the ears and the feet of his disciples. He has no hands but our hands to do his work today. But he still wants that message told. And what is that message? Well, in its nutshell, in its basic form, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scripture. That he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead, as 1 Corinthians 15 points out, verses 1 through 4. And we tell that story about the blood of Jesus, about the death of Christ. And we share with other people the fact of what that death means. The blood of Jesus redeems us and forgives us of our sins, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And according to the gospel, Jesus, having died and shed his blood, he was buried in the new tomb of a man named Joseph of Arimathea. And then on that Sunday morning, yes, early on that Sunday morning, Jesus was raised from the dead, victorious over death itself. That's the message. Obeying the gospel is important. But how do we obey the gospel? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says that when Jesus comes again, imagine this, he'll be coming with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who did not obey the gospel and those who did not know God. Obeying the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We cannot literally obey the gospel in that sense, but we can figuratively obey the form of the gospel when we're baptized. Look at Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3 and reading through verse 4. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The act of baptism, predicated upon our faith in Jesus and our desire to change our life in repentance, unites us with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And later in that chapter, in Romans 6, verse 17, Paul says, "But thanks be to God, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient to that form of teaching to which you were committed." That form, that pattern, the gospel to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of God. Let's apply what we learned this morning for just a few minutes. We can be guilty of binding Jesus by simply following a list of prohibitions without thinking about what I must do. We can be guilty of binding Jesus by failing to pray. Guilty of binding Jesus by failing to study his word. And guilty of binding Jesus by failing to tell the wonderful news of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. So what do you do about it? You start where you are, and you move in the direction you need to move. Make a resolution to begin spending time every day in prayer. It could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. However you need to start. Make a resolution to spend time in God's Word, reading it, thinking about it, praying about it every day. And make a resolution to be an influence in the lives of others. Particularly think about people that you may be able to influence with a kind word, an invitation, maybe inviting them to study the gospel with you, with others in the congregation, myself, the elders, others in the congregation who'd be willing to take the time to do that. If you're not a Christian, think about this. You are binding Christ's power to save if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, the forgiveness of your sins, you are limiting Christ's power to save. And you need to do something about it. If we can help, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing this morning.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Please be seated. in order to help prepare a man for the taking of the Lord's Supper, we'll sing the first two verses of 453. Love lifted me. Let's all sing. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Pray together. Our God and our Father, we're blessed to be called your children. We honor you today, Father. We honor you, and we're blessed to be called you our Father. We thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy and love to us when you sent your Son to this earth to teach us how to live daily, to give Himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and to make us right in your sight through being washed in that blood. We thank you for this emblem, Father, which represents His body. We pray that as we partake of it, we will do so in a way that will be acceptable to you. Pray this through Jesus. Amen.